You're listening to Discover Hope with Pastor Tom Leake of Hope Bible Church in Columbia, Maryland.
You, when you go out to share with someone, don't change the gospel message to make it more interesting for them. Tell them about the cross of Christ. If they're offended, so let it be. It is the message of God. It is the only message that God will ever save a soul with. Be faithful as an angel. Be accurate as an angel. People should never adapt the Bible's message to fit the spirit of the age. The angels are the example, for they're God's perfect messengers. Do you know they were created by God for this very purpose?
You might picture a sweet, sleepy, and chubby cherub when someone mentions the word angel. But what if you were to change what you visualize into something more fearsome, something that you'd be in awe of, but almost afraid of? In today's teaching, Pastor Tom gives a much more realistic idea of what true angels look like. They are God's chosen messengers, and they interact with people more than you might realize. Do you ever wonder if you've encountered angels yourself? Now, here's Pastor Tom in the book of Luke chapter 2 as he begins his message, A Christmas Angel.
Luke 2, I want you to open there again. We're going to look at it from a different angle, the angle of angels. I'm going to read verses 8 through 14. I know you're familiar with it, but focus in on the action of the angels because that's what we're going to be learning about this morning. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds, and then it goes on with a story, what they did. I just wanted to read what the angels did. Okay? Well, you know, this is a section that if you were to think of the bullseye of it, Jesus is born, a Savior has been born for you. But it also is a passage that tells us a little bit about the shepherds. After all, God chose them, lowly as they were and very low in society, and God chose them to hear the announcement of the long-awaited Messiah. That's how God works. He gives things to the poor. He gives those things to the lowly, to the humble. He'll give things to you if you are humble and receive his word with humility. But we have to say it's also a section that presents to us the activity of angels. Did you know that angels are not only a large part of the Christmas historic record, but all the revelation throughout all the Bible? From Genesis to Revelation, you find angels, angels, angels everywhere in your Bibles. Connolly, in his book on angels, writes this: "Angels are a hot commodity these days. You can find popular books on angels in most local bookstores. In nearly every major city, you can take a seminar from people who promise to put you in touch with your angel. On the national level, Time, Newsweek, and USA Today have devoted front-page cover stories to this current and rising interest. Unfortunately, most Christians spend very little time thinking about angels. We may acknowledge their existence, but we are usually unaware of their power or their presence in our lives. Our perception of angels comes primarily from greeting cards and movies. When we think of angels, we envision the chubby, naked cherubs who appear each year at Valentine's Day. We recall movies that portray angels as comical characters, like Clarence, the angel in It's a Wonderful Life, who tries to get his wings by doing a good deed. If we happen to think of the biblical angels, it is usually at holidays. We hang the Gloria angel above the stable on our nativity set. We sing about angels at Christmas. We read about angels at Easter. But when we are sitting at our desk or working at the store or cleaning house, angels are the farthest things from our minds. Yet the Bible offers a surprising amount of information about angels, and we're going to talk about that. Maybe you have some questions about angels. Do they really exist? Do they still appear to people now? How would one identify an angel if they did appear to you? What should you do if an angel appears to you? Does each of us have a guardian angel? Do we become angels after we die? Do angels watch us now while we worship? Or even some of these rather interesting questions. Are angels really a case of mistaken identity? That is, aliens of an advanced species from outer space. Some are advancing that idea. Or are they part of a superstitious, mythical past that we should shed in the modern church so we can appeal to more enlightened minds? Skepticism about the existence of angels is usually tied to the modern era and to a false belief that the rise of modern science has disproved the existence of spirit beings. Such, of course, is not the case, nor can it be the case, since progress in science, which only studies the material universe, has no bearing on answering the question of spiritual beings. Dr. Louis Burkhoff, in his Theology, writes this: "It is quite evident that philosophy can neither prove nor disprove the existence of angels. From philosophy, therefore, we turn to Scripture, which makes no deliberate attempt to prove the existence of angels, but assumes this throughout, and in its historical books repeatedly shows us the angels in action. No one who bows before the authority of the Word of God can doubt the existence of angels." Well, it is certainly consistent to state that since God exists and He is a spirit being, He exists outside of our five senses, He could easily bring into existence spirit beings who also exist outside of our five senses. And since the eternality of physical matter is impossible to prove, nothing more than a belief of the pure materialistic kind of people, and since it contradicts what is currently known about matter, that all matter requires a proper cause, well then, the existence of a spiritual world behind or prior to all of the physical universe is demanded by both the existence of God and by logic itself. Daniel Akin, in his Theology, writes this: "The greatest of Christian thinkers have consistently recognized that angels and demons are far more than a divine embellishment designed to make the Bible interesting. Angels are actual beings whose existence affects human life, indeed, your life." If you don't believe that is the case, just keep listening. In short, angels are real. Angels are important and relevant, and by the example of angels, we can be instructed in the way of God. Let's start with the term angel itself in Greek. It's angelos. It is used nearly 200 times in your New Testament. It means simply messenger. The term refers to the role of angels, not the nature of angels. The term in Hebrew in the Old Testament is malak. It also means messenger or representative. You see, in the ancient world, a trusted servant was often used to deliver important messages. He was a malak. Well, angels are God's malaks, if I can put it that way. Dr. Wayne Grudem writes, "Human beings and angels, using the term more broadly, are the only moral, highly intelligent creatures that God has made. Therefore, we can understand much about God's plan and love for us when we compare ourselves with angels." Well, there are at least four actions in Luke 2, 8 through 14, or beginning of verse 15, that we can learn from. Four actions of holy angels in this text. And we're talking about the holy and good angels here, not the bad angels. Number one, they deliver messages accurately. Number two, they serve the elect faithfully. Three, they glorify God energetically. And fourth, they obey God instantly. Yes, I'll say those again. But shouldn't we be like that as you listen to that? Shouldn't that be true of our lives? I would say as you're listening, ask God to sanctify your life. Maybe through this example, God will speak to you in some way that you can grow as a Christian. First, their action of delivering messages. Look at verse 8 again. Angels deliver messages accurately. That's what we read about right here. "In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them," and now you see him deliver the message, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will be for all the people. And then he goes on to announce the Savior's birth. What a message this was. God put it in the hands, so to say, of an angel and said, deliver this message to those lowly shepherds down there. And this angel did exactly that. The birth announcement of the long-awaited Messiah, the Savior, was born. Shepherds represent the downtrodden and lower strata of society. But here they're doing what shepherds ought to be doing. They're watching over what? Their flock at night. This is what they're doing. And so I'm going to call him the Christmas angel. He comes to speak this message to them. Because angels, by name and by action, are messengers. This is what they do. They can bring prophetic statements about the future. Check out Daniel 9 sometime, and I'm going to throw a lot of references at you. They can warn of danger, such as in Genesis 19. You remember, get out of the city of Sodom because it's going to be destroyed. They can direct people where to go, as in Matthew 28, telling the women and the men where they needed to go to find the resurrected Christ. They even gave the law of God according to Deuteronomy 33:2 and Galatians 3:19. They deliver the law of God. That's amazing. Now think about this angel right here. He delivered a message from God. He delivered the exact message from God. Do you think that he sat down and he decided he wanted to play with a message and get creative with it before he delivered it? Or do you think when God told him, this is the message that I want you to deliver, he knew in his brilliant mind exactly what to say and he came and delivered God's words word for word? I think the latter, not the other. I don't think he adapted the message to his hearers. Oh, these shepherds aren't going to understand this. Why did God tell me to say it this way? They're never going to get this. I don't think he touched it that way. I don't think he played creatively with the message. I don't think he felt that he needed to make the message a little more contemporary because, after all, God is very, very old. And what does he know about shepherds way down there on earth? He just delivered the message. True? True? Unembellished, unaltered, exactly as God said to speak to the people. It was too important of a message to touch, to change. Shouldn't that be how all churches are? We have God's word. It's written. It's inspired, word for word, inerrant, infallible, authoritative. Why do they take it and change it? Why do so many today feel the people of God shouldn't be hearing this? What we need to tell them is something that will fit the spirit of the age today better. It'll make them feel better. It'll fit in with a political climate. It'll be politically correct. It'll make people feel good about themselves. And so they take God's message to man and they alter it and change it. That's not very angelic. That's not what angels would do. Preachers, teachers of the Word of God, you, when you go out to share with someone, don't change the gospel message to make it more interesting for them. Tell them about the cross of Christ. If they're offended, so let it be. It is the message of God. It is the only message that God will ever save a soul with. Be faithful as an angel. Be accurate as an angel. People should never adapt the Bible's message to fit the spirit of the age. The angels are the example, for they're God's perfect messengers. Do you know they were created by God for this very purpose? Ron Rhodes has a book called Angels Among Us. It's well worth reading. He writes this: some angelologists, I didn't know there was such a thing, have proposed that every new wish or desire that God expresses automatically brings into existence a new angel whose sole mission is to accomplish that wish or desire. They suggest that the lifespan of some of these angels is limited to the duration of their specific duty or service to God. Once they finish their task, they die. Others believe that humans become angels at the moment of death. This idea has been popularized in a number of movies in recent years. Both of these ideas are patently unbiblical. As we consult God's word, one thing becomes abundantly clear. Angels are created beings. They have not existed forever, nor were they formerly humans. They were created as angels. Want a scripture for that? Psalm 148, 1-5. Listen, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all stars of light. Praise him, highest heavens and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. Just like God commanded for there to be stars and a sun, water, whatever it is. He commanded, and how did angels get there? He commanded, and they were there. So Scripture is very clear that angels are created beings. God has no beginning or end. God exists outside of time. God has no cause. God is self-existent. Angels had a definite starting point by a creative act of God. Angels are therefore like us. They're dependent creatures. Without God, angels don't exist. They are not deities, they are creatures. Did you know that angels were created by Jesus Christ? It says so in Colossians 1:16. For by Christ all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth. Listen, visible and invisible, the spirit world. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Christ and for Christ. Here, amazingly, the angels witnessed the birth of their creator in the world. Imagine that. This is the one who spoke us into existence, and now he's going down there. And you know they're watching this. You see them chanting. It's amazing. Nor are the angels departed spirits of humans. That's wrong. In Hebrews 12, verses 22 to 23, it distinguishes angels from dead humans. Man is said to be made lower than the angels, according to Psalm 8:5. And in the future, it says, saved men in the church will judge angels. That's according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 3. So they're different from us. Yet the Bible still describes them as persons. Persons. By persons, we mean that they are not some impersonal force, such as the forces of nature, and then taken and personified. They are not a personification of God's power at work. They are true personal beings. They have intelligence. They can carry on intelligent conversations, Matthew 28:5, Acts chapter 12 and 6 through 11. They have emotions. They express joy as they viewed the creation of the world happening in Job 38:7. They rejoice when sinners repent, Jesus said in Luke 15:10. They also have a will. They exercise their will. They refuse to let humans worship them, the good ones, that is, Revelation 22:8 through 9. They also perform personal acts. Listen to this list. They travel, they inform, they fight, they converse, they do miracles, they rebuke, they comfort, they express concern, they worship, and they even cook. Yes, they do. There's angel food. As far as we can tell, they are all male. All male. Because every single time they appear as males, such as in Genesis 18 and Genesis 19 and Matthew 28. They never come as women. They never come as children. As popular as that concept is, we always look at our kids and say, oh, what a little angel. Well, if you really saw an angel, you would lose that analogy. Their titles and names are all male. They're called the sons of God. When we have a singular name, it's Gabriel or it's Michael. True, they are spirits, but when they materialize, they take on male bodies with male properties. They are also moral beings who make moral choices. Many of them chose to sin. They became fallen angels or evil spirits or demons. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4 speaks of that, Jude verse 6 as well. Evidently, after the fall of that group of angels, the elect angels no longer desire to depart from God because they saw what happened to the first group. They are also glorious beings. That I think we know. This Christmas angel arrived suddenly with a bright appearance that caused great fear to fall on all the shepherds. One angel, many shepherds, but they're all afraid of him, right? Notice verse 9, the glory of the Lord shone all around them. So he's shining, but it's so bright, it shines all the way around them. The whole hillside is lit up. It's an impressive sight. It was bright, radiant, glowing. Kinneman has a book, and he points this out. Angels do more than bring messages. They bring something of God's presence with them. Angels are not intimidating just because they are awesome spiritual beings. People often fall down before them because they come directly from the presence of God. Angels' messages are more than just bits and pieces of divine information dropped like propaganda leaflets from heavenly aviators. Angel messages pulsate with the presence of the Lord. Angels are beings of light, and their messages glow with God. Though the shepherds trembled, the angel reassures them. They had absolutely nothing to fear, for this angel had brought not a prophetic statement of judgment, which he could have brought, but good news. Euangelizo, we get our word evangelism from that. It is good news. Evangelism means to proclaim the good news. The good news causes not just joy, but notice great joy for all the people. The reason for the joy is expressed next in verse 11. For unto you a Savior is born. Jesus came into the world. Why? To be a Savior from sin. To save us from sin's power and sin's punishment. You can have Jesus as your Savior right now if you choose. Just turn from your empty life, your own way of living, and turn to the Savior. Put your full confidence in Him. Ask Him to lead your life and forgive you of your sins. He will give you a new life as the greatest gift you could have right here this Christmas. Tell him you're sorry for your sins. Tell him you're ready to follow his son, Jesus Christ. Notice that the angel proclaimed Jesus as the Savior, and he also called him the Christ and the Lord. Christ and Lord are actually in apposition to one another. It means Christ who is the Lord. So he's Savior, he's Christ, which means he's Messiah and King, and he is Lord. He saves, he comes to rule, he also comes to master us. He is the Lord. The angels knew this. The angels knew all about this. The angels know this because the angels have a very special relationship to Jesus Christ. Did you know that they announced all the major events that happened in Jesus' life? Right here at his birth, they announce it. Later at his resurrection, they're there and they announce it. He is not here. He has what? Risen. They announce that. At the ascension, they're standing there looking and he says, he's gone up, and he even announced his second coming. He's going to come back. All of the major events of his life, they announce. Did you know that the angels protected Jesus Christ? Sometimes we read about how Jesus slipped through a crowd and he never got hurt and we're scratching our heads and we say, well, God did that and God might have done that through an angel. And we know, of course, his father fled to Egypt because of the warning of an angel. Jesus understood the angel's readiness to swoop into this world and provide him any assistance he needed at any time. When he was being arrested, the time where it seemed he was most vulnerable, he told Peter, don't you know that I could appeal and the Father would send 12 legions of angels to rescue me? That's in Matthew 26:53. Angels not only were there to fight for Christ if he wanted it, angels were there to provide Christ with comfort. After he fasted for 40 days, who showed up to help him in the weakness of his flesh? An angel, just like an angel that showed up to help Elijah when he was depressed and way out in the wilderness and feeling weak. The next time that we see Jesus in utter great need in the garden near Gethsemane, an angel appears there and also ministers to him, comforts him, strengthens him. The angels, we are told, will even attend Jesus Christ at his second coming. They're coming back, swords drawn, ready indeed. They've been ready to fight for him all along. They just have to wait, you know, wait a minute, it's going to be a little longer. God's plan's still working out, but they're going to come back and fight. They know Christ. They serve Christ. God's angel declares Jesus to be not just a good man, but Savior, Messiah, that is Christ and Lord. Now, the second action of the angels is that they serve the elect faithfully. They serve the elect faithfully. The elect means those that are elect by God, chosen by God, saved by God. These shepherds received more than an announcement. They got some direction from the angel. Notice they got a confirming sign of his birth. Look at verse 12. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Now, a baby, a brephos, that's not the sign. Wrapped in cloths, that's not unusual. But where he was lying was the sign. Why would he be laying in a manger? That's something you don't see every day. And so rather than the angels walking with the shepherds down there and pointing them, say, yep, this is the one that I was telling you about, they give him a sign. And now the shepherds have to exercise their faith in the angelic message, and they have to go, and they end up finding out it's exactly as they were told. They find the baby just as they were told, their Savior lying in a manger. But I think the symbolism was important for the shepherds too, for they were poor and lowly most likely, and Jesus came into the world to save those who would recognize their poverty before God. You see, the people that act rich before God, God rejects. God hates pride. He hates human pride most of all. You know, when Satan thought he could be like God, he cast him out of heaven. Didn't want anything to do with him. Just get out. Gone. God hates human pride. We're filled with people that are too rich and too powerful and too beautiful. And they focus on their beauty and they focus on their education. They focus on their money and their achievements and accomplishments. And God hates all of that. But God reveals himself to the humble of heart, to those who give up themselves, who die to themselves and say, Lord, I'm bankrupt without you. And so here we see a Savior born in an animal trough, healing the blind and the lame, saving whores and beggars, dying among criminals. That's how God does it.
In today's teaching, Pastor Tom explained the difference between the general public's perception of angels and what the true heavenly angels are like. God's angels have a critical role in so much of what happens here on earth. Essentially, they are God's messengers and they interact with humans on a regular basis. Many times, when people are facing great trials and opposition, they're comforted by angels.
I am so glad you joined me today to dig deeper into God's Word. Before we share what's coming up next time, I'd like to give you the opportunity to join us in sharing the gospel message here at Discover Hope. Would you prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner of this ministry? We're a listener-supported radio program, and all gifts are very appreciated. You can get all the information and donate online by visiting hopebible.org/radio. That's hopebible.org/radio.
Next time, Pastor Tom will continue his discussion about angels and how their message about Jesus was the most monumental news ever. Many might underestimate the power and the effect of angels here on earth, but if you knew all there was to know about God's use of angels in your everyday life, you might be amazed and almost terrified to understand it all. They impact and affect you in your daily life. Thanks for tuning in today for Discover Hope. If you'd like to hear more teachings from Pastor Tom, visit hopebiblechurch.org. There's much more to learn from the book of Luke, so we hope you'll join us again right here on Discover Hope.